Today is November 19th, 2013, and we will be continuing our discussion of the mitzvah of redeeming firstborn donkey. Just a quick summary, we had many different explanations as to why the Torah commands us to redeem a non-kosher animal. So we had, Rashi had brought down that these animals helped us on the way out of Mitzrayim, and we also had the idea that the firstborns of Mitzrayim were compared to a chamor, to a donkey. We have the Medrash that told us that Klal Yisrael is compared to a seh, to a Jewish people are compared to a sheep. One sheep among 70 wolves, correct? And the Rebbeinu Shalom saved us, one sheep, a sheep from the hands of the donkey of Mitzrayim. That's another symbolism. We had the Rambam in the Maor Nevuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, who says that the chamor, the donkey, is essential. We can classify it as an essential animal to the existence of the human beings and development of society and so on. We'll get to a little bit more about that soon. We had the Meshech Chachma, which we spoke about at length last week, and that is that the donkey represents our descent to Mitzrayim. Our descent to Mitzrayim was made by way of was being assisted by donkeys. And so the symbolism here is that Hashem is teaching us not, this is not a punishment, as the Medrash on the surface seems to say. The Medrash says, you sold Yosef. For Esrim Kasef, for 20 talents, 20 pieces of silver, so you should redeem your firstborn for 5 slime, for 5 shkolim. On the surface we asked, is that a punishment? If that's a punishment, you're punishing the victim and rewarding the villain. Yosef was the one who was sold, and Levi was among those who sold him. And what are we doing? We tell people, even from Shevet Yosef, even from the tribe of Yosef, we tell them that they have to redeem their firstborn. And who do they give the money to? To Levi, who was one of the people who sold. So obviously it's not a punishment. Basically he says this idea, which gave us a new perspective on the mitzvah, an entirely different idea, which is the idea that Hashem wants us to remember not just our exodus from Mitzrayim, but also our descent to Mitzrayim, and to recognize that whatever challenges a person faces, it's not just the Yeshua, it's not just the salvation that comes from the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the one who put him there in the first place, because he saw in his infinite wisdom that there would be tremendous benefit to the person to go through this purification process. We also mentioned at the end of the Meshech Chochma, and now I'm on page 38, that there is this idea here, this symbolism, a reminder to Klal Yisrael that the Bechor is something that is Kadosh Me'elo, something that is holy without doing any work. The baby's born and already everybody's making a big fuss about him, right? He's Kadosh Me'elo, he's Kadosh on his own. There's something innately special about him. That all, the Jewish people, what's
all,
that?
Is all firstborns? Or just Adam, firstborn animals?
He's talking about those that the Torah says has a certain extra kedusha. That happens automatically. And there's a certain message to that, that really all Jewish people, Hashem calls us B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, all Jewish people have this greatness, this innate greatness, which is something that unfortunately we forget. Jewish people have a certain intrinsic value that, regardless of their actions, he's still precious. Hopefully one day, if a person does Averis, he'll do tshuva. But a Jewish person is born with an innate greatness that is similar to, that is reflected by the Kiddush of the Bechor. So that's a summary of what we've spoken about. And just to finish off that Meshech Chochma, basically he speaks about the fact, if you look at the top of page 38, the line that I underlined, the end of that line, it says, "Kein leipaska ha-hashgacha mizera ha-avais." It's not just that we're born with an innate quality, but we have to recognize the message here is that the Rebbeinu Shalom's hashgacha, the Rebbeinu Shalom's supervision over us, never ceased from the time we went down to Mitzrayim to the time that we left. And really that's true for every Jew. Because of that uniqueness that we have, the Rebbeinu Shalom is constantly following us. Following us and watching us. Eini Hashem Elokecha bo mireish shana racha shana on Eretz Yisrael. It goes on every Jew. There's Hashgacha Pratis. And that's one of the things that we learn out from this. Okay. Now, we saw earlier, as we mentioned before, we'll go a little further now. We're up to the Maral. That's the second paragraph here on page 38. We saw earlier that the Rambam Mer Nevuchim we quoted, mentions that there's a certain quality that the, certain characteristic rather, that the chamur, that the donkey has of all animals. And that's really the ultimate question that we started off with. Why the donkey? Of all non-kosher animals, the donkey has to be redeemed? Why that animal of all animals? So the Rambam mentioned it's an essential animal. Maral says a very interesting thing. He says, "Utam ze chamur b'mashu neite el achaymer." You see, the word chamur and the word chaymer are what?
Synonyms. Well, they're in the same shorash.
Well, okay.
Unrelated.
Okay.
Cognates.
I see Shlomo. Okay, so in any case, I have a video there of Shlomo. He's waving to me. Okay. We miss you in Bala Kinwood. Okay. In any case, so one day we'll have to figure out how the system, how it can ask a question. Or is he trying to do that? Is he trying to say something? I don't know. It could be. Could be there are controls there. I can't figure that out now. But in any case, so the Maral says that the word chamur and the word chaymer are related. In what sense? What does the word chaymer mean?
Material substance, tough material.
Material. Chaymer is the material. Anything that is in existence has a certain chaymer to it. Yes.
Yeah.
How do you say ingredients in Ivrit?
Tavlinim, but it's
no,
matter.
No, tavlinim is...
This matter as opposed to substance, matter, as opposed to spirit.
I think the word for ingredients has to do with chaymer as well. I forget the word, but it's a similar word.
Tavlinim is spicy beam from...
I'll check it up for you. Okay, in any case, they're raw substances from which you something is made, right? There you go. Okay.
Raw materials.
So who reishis habalei chayim? Therefore, the donkey is referred to as the first of all balei chayim, of all living things. I think this is related to what the Rambam was saying, in that it's the most elementary, it's the most basic, it's the most fundamental animal as far as the as far as civilization, it's necessary for. We're not talking about food. We're talking about working the fields. Yes. Yes.
In terms of malacha, yeah.
In terms of work, it's a very basic and elementary animal. Mikol ha-behemes shebelam, he calls it the first of all behemes. Perhaps, in a sense, the most important in the sense of work. So, bavur pshitusai, because of its simpleness. Now, I don't know if he's talking about the biological qualities of the animal or the benefit that it provides to humans, but there's some aspect, there's some characteristic that the chamor has in the physical sense that makes it more elementary, more basic, more fundamental, and therefore the first, so to speak, of all animals. So if a person wanted to know, like, which animal would you choose if it was just you had one animal to choose of any to have, which one would you choose, right? You'd probably choose a donkey because it could provide for you, the benefit that it could provide for you is the greatest as far as work, as far as working the land, as far as schlepping, and so on. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom chose of all the non-kosher animals, he chose the donkey, not any other non-kosher animal. The very fact that it has this more elementary, I don't know what you want to call it, an aspect. Shayach by Bechaira Vereshis. So somehow, the fact that it's related to Chaimer, the fact that it's so very basic, makes it the first of all animals, of all non-kosher animals. Shekosher hu pashut Vereshis Lemurkavim Sheachrov. The more basic an animal is, then the animals that come later, we know the mule, it comes from a donkey, etc. But the more basic it is, the more original, we'll call it the original donkey. The Horesh is Shaykh by Bechaira. Now, I'm not sure I understand this entirely and what exactly he's getting at, but the very idea is that somehow some aspect of the donkey makes it, in a sense, the first of all animals. So it does have, despite the fact that it is Tameh, it is a representative of the non-kosher animal kingdom in general. Right? You would think, well, maybe if Hashem has to choose an animal to redeem, let him choose the king of the Chayas. What's the king of the Chayas?
The lion.
The lion. Almost all the time, right? We know there's 1 month a year that the lion is not the king. Are you familiar with that?
No.
What? No. You're not familiar? You're not?
What's the reference?
You didn't know that? No?
Well,
1 month a year, no?
1 month a year, you said?
Yeah, you didn't know? You didn't know that 1 month a year the king, the lion is not the king?
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm going to have to change the name of the movie now. Amram's laughing.
This is the Lion King.
What's the king? Ah, you don't remember. So in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu bows down to Yosef. So what does it say? Rashi says, Tala, a fox in its time, you bow down to it. What does that mean, a fox in its time, you bow down to it? So the Sisach HaChomim there on that pasuk says, there's 1 month a year that the fox is the king. You hear that? He doesn't really say. However, obviously the analogy is very interesting. You have Yaakov Avinu was the father. He should be the king. And Yosef is seemingly the subordinate. And yet, Yaakov is bowing down to the... The answer is when Yosef is in a position that today he's the king. He was the Mishnah Lamelech. So even he, who is usually the king, meaning under normal circumstances, Yaakov Avinu should have been viewed as the king, he has to bow down to him too in its time. But idne, in its time, you bow down to the fox. Now, anybody who is a farmer and has chickens knows that the fox is the king all months when you try to keep him away. We had a fox actually in this area. You know, there are a lot of foxes around.
Tons of foxes.
Yeah. What?
Tons of foxes.
Yeah. We had for many, the trash cans were being... were being attacked. Now, when the raccoons attack it, eat, and whatever mess they make, they just don't clean up. Very impolite. But when the fox comes, they deliberately try to show you who's king. They take all the trash and they drag it all around the yard. They took trash bags and literally all across the yard. It was unbelievable. And what did we do? One of our friends gave us a great idea. He actually got it for us as a gift. It was a great gift. He got us, these little sheds, little trash sheds that lock from the top. Like it's not a, like the doors are like locked in such a way, the only way to open them is to lift the lid of the whole shed. So we outsmarted the fox. Got it? Okay. And it worked, Baruch Hashem.
Did you put mothballs in there? They don't...
Yeah, mothballs, okay.
The smell.
There's other reasons why the sheds are good, but
yeah.
Okay. In any case.
Just one question. So redemption, so you would you shefted the sheep so you could use them somewhere? Is that how it worked?
Well, the seh, Rashi tells us, the seh remains. I think we had it at the beginning, right?
Where are we? I mean, how's the redemption done? Is it done through... I thought it was done, you shef the sheep, and if you don't, then you have to kill the fox.
No, you redeem the donkey with a sheep, and the sheep, you don't have to shef the sheep.
What do you do with the sheep?
No.
You give it to the
Kohen. It's chulin biad kayin.
You give it to the Kohen.
Yeah, you give it to the Kohen, but it's chulin biad kayin. So for every firstborn donkey that a person has, he's supposed to give a sheep to the Kohen to redeem it, and if not, then he has to break the neck. That's the next mitzvah, which we'll get to hopefully on Thursday.
Thank you.
Okay. So, in a sense, somehow, this aspect of elementariness, is that a word, Neil? Or just made that up?
Yeah, I think you made it up. No, sorry.
I did make it up. Okay. Sounds good anyway. Who was the one who created English that decides what is and what isn't in the dictionary? I just decided elementariness should be in the dictionary. Okay, so the elementariness of this animal makes it the representative of, and again, this is probably the usefulness to humans and the benefits.
Elementalness, I think.
Elementalness? Okay, that doesn't sound good.
Utility.
Okay. In any case, the usefulness to the human. In truth, none of the non-kosher animals should really be subject to this mitzvah. Rak ha-chamor, mepnei shehu ba'atzmei reishis. The chamor alone, because it has this special quality, mepnei shehu pashut, because it's very basic. Because shehu b'char, shehu gamkein reishis gomor, then there's a mitzvah to do such a thing. Now, again, I don't say that I understand this maral. What I'm taking out of the maral is that there's a certain aspect. First of all, he asked the question, obviously, why would a... The truth is that no non-kosher animal should be subject to such a mitzvah, because how could it have any kedusha whatsoever? But yet, we find that the Rebbeinu Shem chose the chamor, but one should know that there's something about the chamor. I'm going to assume that it's the usefulness, similar to what the Rambam had said, that makes it intrinsically more basic and more of a representative, as far as humans are concerned, of the non-kosher animal kingdom. And whatever benefit there is to taking the firstborn, whatever symbolism there is to taking the firstborn and recognizing that it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that you have to redeem it, whatever benefit there is, it has to do with some characteristic of the animal itself. Again, I'm leaving that interpretation open, but at least the concept that there's something about the animal, whether it's the benefit it gives to us, whether it's useful, whatever it is, that it represents, that is what we're trying, what the Rebbeinu Shem is trying to teach us, is something that we have to recognize. We have to redeem, recognize that it comes from him, and we'll see in the next few pieces, we'll see how that relates to us, the fact that it, whatever characteristic this is, that then despite the fact that it's tame, we will have this mitzvah to redeem it. So let's see here. The Karban Elio, the Sefer Karban Elio, was written by Rabbi Elio HaKayin. He was one of the Rabbanim in the city of Izmir. And it was first printed in 1850. Got it? Okay. Rabbi Greenspan had bought for me a Sefer, a compilation of Medrashim, and some of the Mefarshim surrounding the Medrash. Select pieces, and one of the pieces was from the Karban Elio. This is one of them. Pretty remarkable stuff. And so I looked it up online. I went to HebrewBooks.org and I found the Sefer, and I looked at the Hagdama and so on. And pretty interesting. Yes, Neil, you want to say
something? The argument of morale sounds a bit forced. I mean, why is primal to other animals? Why is barbaric? I mean, in terms of certainly food, clothing, shelter, there are other animals that serve other functions for men. I mean, in terms of sleeping, in most societies, the horse replaced the donkey, except maybe in the Middle East, for something you ride on or that you have drawing plows. I mean,
that's why I sense.
I'm not totally comfortable with the argument.
So first of all, I'm not saying I understand the Mara, what exactly he's getting at. The issue that I'm trying to bring out is that there's some quality, some inherent quality about the chamor that makes it the rachis, and therefore it is appropriate that that animal of all the non-kosher should be represented. How you interpret the maral is, there's several things one can say. One of them is, like you said, it's the usefulness, and in those days, right? It could very well be that there's something even more basic about it, maybe biologically, maybe, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he's saying, but some of the ideas that we're going to see soon, like from Hirsch, and from the Nayama Mitzvahs, will understand them better in light of that morale. So that's why I brought it down. We'll see it soon. But the Karban Elio, which really probably we should have seen before the morale, but in any case, he says a fascinating thing. He says, Venira, Shebehiyoi Shebeschus Yitzchok Yotzu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. You should know that because of the fact that in the merit of Yitzchok, of all people, we left Mitzrayim. K'may shenira mehamedrish al shehichlev shin b'tzadi. The Medrash tells us that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam exchanged the letter shin with the letter tzadi. Ready for this?
Because there are a few places where Yitzchak is spoken.
Exactly. V'lachein b'dalet mekayimis Yitzchak b'shin. Sometimes Yitzchak, four places in Tanakh, Yitzchak is spelled with a shin, Yitzchak.
Sin.
Sin. Correct. Ushvasai le Yitzchak. Correct. Amedeha. We actually mention it in davening. We mention it in by a bris. We say the pasuk, right? That's Tehillim Kufhei. Okay. Now, what's the significance of switching the tzadi with the shin, or with the sin? What's the significance? Umisin sha'ila shin, which shin here he means 300. And from the letter sin, which adds up to, in gematria, 300, yatsa mayhem tzadi, the Rebbeinu Shalom took out from 300, what did he take out?
90.
What's the significance of switching a sin and a tzadi? And if you deduct tzadi, which is 90, from sin, which is 300, what's the 210
years?
210 years. Nisharidu, you're left with Reish Dalet Vav, which is the famous
15,
number that Chazal mentioned. Redu is 210 years.
Wow.
Ukamai shepirashnu bezashem be parshas va'era. Gematria Yitzchak. Look at the gematria of Yitzchak. You know, it says ki be Yitzchak yikare lechazara. Right? Rebbein Shem says the ultimate role of Yitzchak is be Yitzchak. What's be Yitzchak? What's the gematria of be Yitzchak?
90.
Well, if you take the yud and the tzadi and add them together, it's 100.
Right.
So you have two 100s there, and then an 8.
Eight, and then two. Well, 110, right?
Oh, 110.
Not 110. 210. You hear that?
Well, how
the gematria of B'Yitzchak is 210. Because there's two kufs, Drew. You see, the tzadi and yud, add them together is like a kuf, and the kuf at the end of the word, you have two kufs, and a ches, and a beis. Okay. So, ki B'Yitzchak, yikar l'chazara. So Bi Yitzchak is gematria 210. So he says like this. It's been established. He says it in Parshas Va'era. I have to be honest. I looked it up in his writings on Parshas Va'era and that Sefer Karban Elio, and I couldn't find it. But he probably has a longer description and explanation to this, why Yitzchak of all people. But we see this symbolized in the fact that, number one, Yitzchak is sometimes spelled Yitzchak, so the sin and the tzadi are interchangeable. And the significance of that is 210. In Yitzchak's merit, we left Mitzrayim, and the number of B'Yitzchak, the gematria, the total of the word, the letters B'Yitzchak is also 210. Okay, so Shebavur Yitzchak, Yatzu Yisroel Mitzrayim. Fine. Okay, so that's number one. We already mentioned, he says, that in the merit of Yitzchak we left Mitzrayim. Oida, another thing you should know. Shebe'inyinu Akedah, Ha'am ha'doimim lechamar. When it came to the story of the Akedah, the Am, the nation, that's doimim lechamar. Who's that?
The nation.
Shaya Eliezer v'Yishmael. Right? Yaakov, Avraham Avinu said, Shvul lochem ha'chamar. Shvul lochem poyim ha'chamar, right?
Right.
And what do Chazal say? Am ha'doim lechamar. I once had a friend who said to me, maybe that's not correct the way people read it. Shvulochem poyim achamar. Everybody says that. Am adayim lechamar. Am a nation as adayim lechamar. Im achamar, right? Maybe it should read the words of Chazal. Shvulochem poyim achamar. Im adayim lechamar. Not am adayim lechamar, but im. The word of the pasuk is im. You don't have to change the word im, right? Stay here with the adayim lechamar, those that are compared to a donkey. Okay, I once asked a great man, and he said, you know, there might be something to that. Okay, but in any case, a friend of mine mentioned that, and could be it's somewhat of a mistake, or maybe they're both right. But he's clearly learning it's an am. If you look at his words here, it's very clear. All right, am hadim lehamar. Right? He says, ha'am hadim lehamar. Okay. So here, interestingly, by the way, he doesn't just mention Yishmael. He mentions Eliezer too as being one of the people that is Daim al-Khamar. That's pretty surprising. Does Rashi say that in Chumash, that Eliezer is also?
No.
I think it's pretty... I don't remember. I have to look up the Rashi, but I think it... I certainly always remembered it being Yishmael. But in any case. So both Eliezer and Yishmael. You hear what he writes? Hayu raitzim sheyamos Yitzchak sham. They both wanted Yitzchak to actually be slaughtered on the Akedah, on the thing there.
Wow.
The HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hitzilai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him. And what did he send in its stead? Shehizmin Seb Mekaymai. Hear what's going on? Okay, well, we find this idea. You'll see, Rav Hirsch mentions this idea that all that whole family, that category, I don't know if it's a family, but... maybe they're different species, but ram, sheep, goats, you know, they're all viewed in some ways as part of a similar kind of ashtarais, maybe, I think, refers to that general category, perhaps. But in any case, the Rebbe Yishlam sent a seh in his place. So until now, by the way back we had, as I mentioned before, that the seh represents Klal Yisrael, and the Chamar represents, we had many sources for that, represents Mitzrayim. Here he says the Seh, well, we'll see what the Seh is in a moment, the Seh is the Seh by the Akedah, and the Chamar represent Yishmael and Eliezer. So in the place of Chamar, in the place of the thoughts of Chamar, of the donkey, which means Eliezer and Yishmael, who wanted Yitzchak to be put to death, in that place, the Rebbe Yishlam switched it for a seh in its place. Will be Yais Shehitzil, and being that he was saved, now Yitzchak was alive, and now he had descendants, and now his merit was that which helped the descendants leave Mitzrayim. So Garam Hatzalasai, his being saved, caused L'Sheyotzu Yisrael Mitzrayim B'Schuzai, that the Jewish people should leave Mitzrayim in his merit. Now it's interesting, the fact that he was saved not just caused the B'nai Yisrael to merit leaving Mitzrayim, it also caused there to be a Jewish people in the first place. Okay? But included in that is the special merit of leaving Mitzrayim. So therefore he says like this. So we got that so far? Yitzchak is the one in whose chus we left Mitzrayim. Yes? The Chamor represents
Yishmael.
Yishmael and Eliezer. And their intent. that Yitzhak should die. And the seh represents, the seh represents the salvation of Yitzhak. That was the thing that was in place of Yitzhak dying, was a seh instead. V'lachein u'peter chamor shehu reimez al Eliezer v'Yishmael. You should redeem the chamor, which is Eliezer and Yishmael, am hadoimim l'chamor, because they are from a nation that's compared to chamor. In their place, tifte b'seh, you should also, that's why Hashem gives us this mitzvah, to redeem the donkey with a seh. What's the purpose of that? Kidei sheyizkar ha-pela ha-gadol. In order that we should remember this great pela, this great wonder, shehigia li-Yitzhak, that happened to Yitzhak, Avinu Olav HaShalem, shepada ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu machsheves am ha-dayim l'chamor, the Rebbeinu Shalom, so to speak, redeemed the intentions or the hopes of those that were like a chamor. He exchanged that for the seh, which means in its place he put a sheep, meaning representing the salvation of Yitzchak. And eventually he had children, and in his merit his children were saved. Ever heard such an interpretation of this mitzvah? The chamor and the seh are representative of the salvation that we had, that Yitzchak had, from the Akedah. And why is it connected to Mitzrayim? It's connected to Mitzrayim because in the schus of Yitzchak, we left Mitzrayim.
Wait, are there Midrashim that say that Eliezer and Yishmael wanted Yitzchak to be rejected? Or is this, I don't know.
I don't know what his source is for that they wanted that. I would imagine Yishmael is pretty easy to figure out because he was his competition.
Oh, there are Midrashim that they were arguing beforehand.
Well, that's why Achar Advar Meila, right. But I don't know about that Medrash doesn't necessarily convince us that Yishmael wanted him to die. To the contrary, maybe he wanted to say, no, you are not right. You're not as great as me, and therefore you shouldn't prove it. But
I had a question over here. Right after that, Hi, Sarah. Eliezer reached such a great point. How could that be? So Rabbi Bieberfeld, a year ago here, a beautiful medrash to explain the whole thing. He said that Eliezer was compared to the donkey, and all of a sudden he did such a teshuva.
He had a transformation. He became a baruch. Yes.
Amazing.
Absolutely. From his words here, doesn't necessarily sound so.
No, it doesn't sound.
Yeah, but you're right. The Mefarshim say he became a baruch. He was transformed into a baruch. That's correct. Okay, we'll stop here, but definitely a very unique interpretation from the Karban Elio, something that I had never seen before, and enlightening as far as what this mitzvah symbolizes.